Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how COVID has special use property sales way up. Special use properties are things like, in commercial real estate, it could be property that's very specifically zoned for hotel, motel, or another special use property would be a mobile home park, or like property, special use property like mountain second home property, anything that's just not in a subdivision, it's your primary residence, or like strip mall, right? Even strip mall, there's an argument. But Jill read an article and she's gonna explain it to you here in the show about the Florida property on the water with boats. That's a really special, specific use property. The sales are just through the roof right now. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that in a second. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Steve wrote, is this you?
No.
Okay.
If it was me, I would have said.
SJB?
Yeah, I would have said Oscar.
Okay, Oscar. Is Oscar your, is that the guy inside of Steven?
So yeah, there's an Oscar the Grouch inside of me.
Oh.
That's where it's from.
Is he really inside? I'm sorry. How bad would Oscar get? How mad would Oscar get?
Just like I believe in my soul that there's a stripper inside of Jill named Stacy.
Get that. Careful. There are kids. There could be kids in the room. Oh, boy. Okay. Steve, not my Steve, asked, I'm looking for smaller land contracts to buy, all or part. Minimum of 2 years left on them. At least one payment made. Well, that's easy. This is all very easy.
This guy joined our group to do this, by the way.
Interesting. We are experienced in paper, but not so much in land. We have done 6 land deals to date. If you have a pool of notes and you want to get some cash out now, let's see if we can find a way to help us both out. Thanks.
So here's how this works. You buy a piece of property for $10,000, let's say, and you sell it on terms to the end user for $500 down and $200 a month or some number. This is a huge business model for a lot of people. It used to be our business model. Mm-hmm. And Jill and I got tired of the hassle. So you can create a very amazing cash flow. That's what the cash flow from land really is. Mm-hmm. And after a certain amount of time where that note's been performing, the $500 down, you get the $200 payments, 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, 2 years. That's a 5-year note. It starts to have some serious value to people like Steve who are note investors. Mm-hmm. They're not really land investors or house investors or any of that. They're in the paper business, as he accurately said. Over the years, I've done a lot of deals like this, not buying the paper, selling it, because I win. If I buy a property for $10,000, I got all these payments that have come in, and then I sell it for $20,000, let's say, because the value of that contract as it goes out grossly exceeds how much I paid. Mm-hmm. They don't care, by the way, how much you pay. They only care about that income stream, the future income stream, because mm-hmm. they're going to pull it into their existing portfolio, take the averages, and clink each other's beer at the end of the day. So is this a good thing for us? It's a great thing. I would, if you have properties on terms that you're selling that have seasoned notes, seek these people out. You can make a ton of money. Could be your exit strategy.
That could be the model right there, you know, because let me think about this. A lot of people, the money's tied up in the land. Now they're getting payments back. So that's, their money's still kind of there. But I could sell these notes, have a quick cash balance right now, and go do it all over again. And then do it again.
That's right.
And do it again. And do it again.
That's right.
Yeah.
You have to have, if you're going to be a successful terms seller, you have to have another source of revenue to fuel that, because very quickly you're going to, from a cash flow standpoint, not a balance sheet standpoint, but from a cash flow standpoint, you're going to get upside down. And it's very tempting to, you know, that's why a lot of people in our group do 2 for cash, 1 on terms, 2 for cash, 1 on terms, and it fuels the whole thing. There's a lot of different ways to do it, but I would encourage you to establish a relationship with people like Steve. Today's topic, COVID has special use property sales way up. This is why you're listening. Tell us a Florida
funny?
Story,
the whole, well, the whole note thing, I'm just thinking about it. It's just not my thing.
Not my thing either.
Yeah. And I love, you know, we know people that are big into notes. They have whole shows and things around notes.
Whole companies.
Companies all around the notes.
Here's why.
Not my thing.
Here's the magic to
and
it.
I wish them well, and I like them. I'm like, you're killing it. Good for you. Not my thing.
You take a piece of property that's got all five A's. It's real important when you're going to sell on terms that you can drive right up to the property. Because the end user is eventually going to drive right up to the property. They're probably not going to do it before they buy the property.
It's true.
They're going to do it maybe a year or so later. And it's at that magic moment that they're going to decide, you know what? It's not what it looked like on the internet. Or they're going to say, wow, I did great here. In a perfect world, you want them to say, wow, I did great here every single time.
Right.
That's just not what happens. So, or their life changes. You know, their kids have to go to college or something. They need the money for something else. So the rescission rate, the number of people that stop paying, is very high. And then you go have to go do it all over again, which makes somebody like Steve here, a note buyer, really, really attractive. So mm-hmm. if you can get a good down payment on a piece of property that you bought right, get 12 months of payments, and then sell the note, it's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jill doesn't like it because there's a tiny little hint of dishonesty. There's that magic moment where it's like they just changed their mind, or they didn't, you know, they should have gone to see it before they actually bought it. And then you got, then that's when she gets the phone call, or their staff gets a phone call, and it's, there's disappointment and all that. And you know what? When you buy for cash and sell for cash, nobody's disappointed. The person you bought it for, you solved their problem. The person you're selling it to sees this huge value in the price. So everybody's jumping up and down and happy.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of business we want to be in.
That's very true. The reason people do this is because it's a property that you'd buy for 10 and I would sell for 20 for cash, but they're selling it for 35,000 on terms. And the person is happy with that, the buyer, theoretically, because they get to make terms payments on it. I'm not a fan. You're right. And because then I'm undoing it because I feel bad and it's the right thing to do. And then it's a big mess. And then I turn around and sell it for cash. Sorry.
Tell us your Florida story.
Okay. So are we into the meat of the show now? That's right.
Yes.
Okay. So the Florida story. Oh, so I was reading an article about boats, about marina property in Florida, and how this professional investor stumbled across this niche and said, holy cow. So they bought this property, had 14 boat slips, right, that came with the property, and they were snatched up. And he started to dig a little deeper, and he found that, I have the numbers here, he found that boat sales are through the roof right now, and like RVs.
As are RVs.
And he's now.
And mobile homes.
He's now building out a division of his company to deal with specifically with marina property. So here are the numbers. Powerboat sales have already been seeing a consecutive growth year over year in the past decade. But since the coronavirus pandemic, it's exploded. According to the National Marine Manufacturers Association, 115,000 new powerboats were sold in May and June alone.
Oh my gosh.
Which is a 30% increase over the same time period last year.
That's staggering.
So in 2019. And then additionally, by the way, in Europe, they export nearly $20 billion worth of boats each year. So this is all fueling the demand of marina space. And then the whole point is, this guy said, there's nowhere to put them. So I'm like, what the heck? So his company is now developing marinas is in the United States and Central America. And they're focusing on taking boats that are 30 to 50 feet in length. So the problem is I can't put them all in the water. There's two things you can think about. Talk about an awesome thing is if you have a place to put in the water, great. But what they're focusing on is taking boats that are 30, 50 feet in length, moving them to dry storage in a place that they can retrieve quickly and in an automated fashion, and then they're going to leave the slips for the larger vessels, so that's just not possible.
Right.
But they can get them in and out. Like, what the heck?
What a crazy, crazy world we live in right now.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to have the biggest recession / depression economic depression after this COVID thing started in March, I would, man, Jill and I were battening down the hatches, figuratively.
Exactly.
To keep with the marine theme.
Yep.
And it just didn't happen. And what happened is our businesses exploded, every single one of them. And so tomorrow, I don't want to talk about this too much. Tomorrow, the show is called, is about why, the results of this COVID thing. But today is about special use property. So special use property, like houses that have a dock down and you walk down there and get your boat in Florida, sales are, you can't find property like that right now. It's, so those are great places, properties to buy as an investor right now, if you can get them cheap and resell them immediately.
Anything
that's got a little flair to it that has to do with like not living in a city, because people don't have to live in cities anymore to go to work.
Well,
most people.
In some states, if you're the owner of a property and it's a certain size, you're allowed to hunt on it and not have to jump through all the hunting restrictions and some of the hunting
licenses.
That's
a great example.
So that is a really valuable little special use thing as well that I'm buying and selling.
Right.
It's amazing.
The list of special use property is endless. And the place to start to get build that list for you is exactly what Jill did. She, and I know how this hunting property came up, because we bought a bunch of property in a very specific area in a specific state. And one of those pieces of property was set up for that based on location and size. And man, we made some dough.
I got another one. Cannabis.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. There's a lot of, most places have a lot to say about it, but just the basics of cannabis property. Don't dig too deep, by the way, too. This could get you down due diligence nightmare, but there's a lot of states and places where you can literally get a map, and it'll tell you if you're inside this area, it's allowed. If it's outside this area, it's not allowed, you know, or vice versa. So that's another good special use thing that you just pay it to, I guess, be aware of. That's my whole thing too. Be aware of it. You know, don't dig too deep. I don't know if I want you to make it your property type. Maybe you do, but just know that it's out there.
It's still no replacement for the red, green, yellow test.
Right.
You're still going to look down at the zip code for houses and down at the county for sure for land, and it's got to pass all those tests. Property sales need to be higher than what's listed. You know, if you're in our group, you know what I'm talking about. We teach all this stuff, and I'm not going to go into it now. So if there's special use properties, sales are way up. You know, people are buying these properties. There has to be some property that they're moving from, or it is not getting purchased. What is it? It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath property that was built in the 80s in Warren, Michigan. You tell me who's moving to Warren, Michigan right now in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath property that's about 1,200 feet, which is what I grew up in, by the way.
I understand.
That's why I'm picking on Warren, because I'm from there.
What does it cost you now? About, what, $5,000-$8,000?
There's properties all spattered all over the MLS in Wayne and Macomb County for $1,500.
There you go.
There's a massive migration of people who can work online into warmer, more fun climates. Forget about red states and blue states. Who the hell cares about that? People are moving to places where they can work, have a bigger house in a rural, more rural location that's maybe got a boat dock at the end of it, like Jill's saying, in droves. They're moving in droves out of the cities. And I don't see this changing. I think that companies have really, there were some permanent effects to 9/11. There's going to be some permanent effects to COVID, and this is one of them. People are going to work from home. It's the new thing. Mm-hmm. Companies love it.
Thank you for not saying the new normal.
Companies love sending people home as long as they can hit their numbers. Yeah. They don't have to deal with their personalities. They don't want to deal with,
have a cafeteria. You
know, they don't want to deal with any
maintain
of
the building.
Yeah.
Think of the internet savings, the desk. Oh gosh, too. Not to mention, if you have an office right now, oh my goodness, we're lucky that we still have an office, which everybody could spread out anyway. It's not like it's, but a lot of places couldn't. So what if you had an office and everybody was like, you know, real estate agents, desk. Now you got to spread everybody out. You need twice the space if you're trying to do that. I wouldn't.
Since the beginning of the industrial age in this country, which is, you know, around the First World War, 1915-ish, maybe a little bit before that, 1900, mm-hmm. let's say. People were had to live where they were worked mm-hmm. up till last March. So think about that from a real estate perspective and how people's perceptions. Look, these kids, and I'm talking about people that are, let's say, younger than 35. Most of them have kids. The millennials. It's the largest generation since the baby boomers. And it's also the smartest by leaps and bounds because of the internet. They grew up with the internet. It's the first generation that grew up with a phone in their hand, and they're very comfortable working from wherever and hitting their numbers. So those are the people that are making these decisions, and they want to have fun.
Well, wait a minute. So do I.
Well, I don't think that's the norm for people our age. I think the little groups that we're in, Jill, socially, but man, I grew up with people that just weren't interested in having any fun. They're interested in suffering. And so I think that...
That would be the difference between Michigan and California, maybe?
Maybe. Just one of them, yeah. So I'm not knocking on Michigan at all today. I'm just saying there's a new type of buyer. They have a tremendous amount of freedom. They know how to... They're disciplined enough to work at home and hit their numbers, and their employers love them twice as much because they never really have to deal with their opinion on whether the office is too hot or too cold. And it's here to stay. I think you can't send a bunch of people home and have them hit their numbers for a year and a half, then the COVID ends and tell them to come back to work.
It doesn't
They don't
make
live
sense.
In the same state anymore.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. Thank you. Happy you could join us today, Monday through Friday. You can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show along these lines is called 5 Real Estate Results of COVID. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Are we going to each write down 5 tomorrow
sure.
and then share our own 5?
If you want to do that, sure.
Okay, I'm kind of curious.
Mine are already written down.
Of course they are.
Here's what happens.
Could you imagine?
Hold on, here's what happens.
Can you imagine living with, going through what I go through all the time?
The only way that you can pull off working with your spouse is if you separate everything. Because if we worked together in the same companies all day long together, we would both be dead probably within a week. Mm-hmm. So this podcast is mine. I spend all this time and energy in pre-production and post-production and writing stuff and all of that. And Jill sits down about 2 minutes before we're scheduled to record, writes down, scribbles down some notes like
I
this.
Help with the topics.
Oh, yeah.
I do help with the topics. Yep. I did last week. I every week help with the topics. Thank you very much.
So it's a situation. I'm not complaining at all. Yeah. I'm not, because I like doing podcasts. I really do. And she's got a million things on her side that I don't even know about. Mm-hmm. Like we buy property in states that I didn't even know we were even looking. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, it's just funny to have her sit down, kind of like an actor would sit down.
Are you done? Thank you for joining us. We hope you find our content valuable, and we appreciate your support. If you haven't already, and it's kind of fun, check out our YouTube channel. While you're there, please hit the subscribe button.
Your comments and suggestions help us to create the kind of content you're here for. Hitting the like button on your favorite episodes helps to support our channel's algorithm and gauge your interest for future shows.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.